What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Wayward Pines, a Walking Naked podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Justin.
Hey, I'm Kelly.
And what are you laughing about?
I'm laughing about the fact that we were talking about the whole bath thing, you know, because I have the day off today and I was, you know, super excited. And I just got done telling you, I mean, I took a bath, which doesn't usually happen on the weekends. And
you're like,
and
that doesn't normally happen in a decade. I usually go unclean.
And you're like, oh, well, that's great because you have two more days for, you know, for the rest of the weekend. And I'm thinking, can I stretch not taking a bath all the way till Sunday night?
Indeed, you can. If I mean, we are related, so
yes.
I'm pretty
sure
I can go a week straight with no shower. Because...
And we're not disgusting people. We're just lazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't call me disgusting at all. I mean, you may call me disgusting if you sit next to me on a bus ride or something, or if, you know, we're sitting next to each other on a plane.
You're adorable, and you never. Hardly smell.
You just mask it all with like Axe body spray or lots and lots of cologne. So then they're totally perplexed because
they're confused.
They're like, oh my God, this guy puts too much cologne on. Little do they know, I haven't showered in a month.
Yeah, no, actually, I think they go, wow, somebody smells really good and somebody's super funky.
Exactly.
Who is it?
All at the same time. Just you know, so many different kinds of smells. well, I like that you pointed out that, yes, this weekend is 4th of July weekend. We're getting our podcast in on Friday, which we normally do it on Friday. Sometimes it's on Saturday, but we wanted to make sure we got it in before the holiday weekend. And it's funny that we're celebrating our independence while everybody in Wayward Pines is basically, you know...
They're trying to get their
independence.
They're
trying to fight for theirs in the show. So
I think it actually was a very appropriate episode for... this week, don't you think?
I think so too, and maybe that's why they took that stupid week off, because
maybe.
They were like, wait a second, we can tie this in with Independence Day, 4th of July weekend, people are going to be setting off fireworks, we're setting off fireworks in the show, shebang!
Yes,
Chad Hodges was like, I've got it down, people.
It would have been even better if we would have promoted it so everyone would know that we're attempting to tie it in.
I know, exactly. Start your week off, or no, start your 4th of July weekend off with a bang.
Right.
With Wayward Pines, episode 7, Betrayal.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic had they done that. But they didn't do that, but that's okay. It was still a good episode to watch. It was directed by Steve Schill and written by Rob Fresco.
Yay, Stephen Rob.
I love Rob's last name. Fresco.
Ah,
it just
what is your
refreshing.
Name? It's a Fresco.
It's a Fresco.
Oh, God.
Mi amor.
Wait a minute. I think one was Italian
and
one was French.
I don't even know. Probably so. Knowing
I'm not totally sure about that.
We're uncultured Americans, so
yes, we are.
It's okay. It's expected of us, and we're just, you know, we're just kind of fulfilling that for you.
Right.
Yes. All right.
And we stink.
Yeah, exactly. And we stink. So we are just the American dream, people. All right. So what did you happen to think about episode 7,
Don't ask me.
Betrayal?
Don't ask me.
Don't ask you. Well, I kind of have to. It's a podcast about the episode, so.
It wasn't my favorite episode.
Well, I mean, I could see that coming. I could see that this was not going to be a lot of people's favorite episode just because of the nature of this episode. I mean.
It was. Because at one point they rushed it so badly that I wanted to shoot someone. And I mean, it was like, you know, we everybody's back and forth and telling secrets on each other and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then suddenly he is at the fence and they're trying to bomb it. And I know I'm getting ahead of things, but
I like your
my synopsis
of the show.
Mm-hmm. That was my synopsis.
They're telling a lot of secrets and they're doing things and doing stuff.
And then they're trying to bomb it.
And then trying to bomb the fence. And then he stopped bombing.
And it was super rushed. So, it wasn't my favorite episode. Let me just, to answer your question.
No, I think that's a fair assessment of this episode. I was looking at reviews of this episode, and it was pretty mixed. For some reason, I saw worse reviews for last week's episode, which I happen to think was a really good episode, Choices.
Mm-hmm.
I thought episode 5 and 6, they worked so well together as one, like, you know, basically 2-hour block of television that told the entire story of Wayward Pines. And, I mean, yeah, you're totally right in the sense that eventually the show was going to have to be rushed because we only got 10 episodes. And okay. We're telling an entire story of the, you know, basically the, I guess you would, it's not like, you know, a typical story structure of, you know, we see somebody starting out, having a beginning, middle and end, which we may get to see that. I was
well,
expecting
I mean, every
the end
story,
of Wayward Pines.
Every well, story has to have a,
well, no, I get that, but I was expecting more of a, you know, because you typically see in a story structure, like I'll just take for an example, like you see a character, he starts out from the bottom, he rises up, and then he either loses it all and gains it all back or just loses it all and is like, you know, his story's over with or something. I didn't expect that with the story of Wayward Pines. Like, I didn't expect for, especially since we saw in last week's episode that this has already happened to Wayward Pines once before. Like, the entire
right,
town was
right.
destroyed already.
Right.
So it's like, okay, is this just, you know, perpetually going to happen? I mean, Pilcher even said it in the episode. He said, is this passion for self-destruction inevitable? You know, this is kind of what we do as humans. We blow
right.
shit up. We break
right.
shit. So, I don't know. I guess this the entirety of the story of Wayward Pines is going to be a, like just
that's
this
not what I meant.
Circle.
Well, as far as the rushed part goes.
No.
I mean,
I get what you're talking about with the rushed part.
You know, obviously, I mean, we've moved very quickly. We were surprised in the first couple of episodes how quickly we move into the fact that, you know, I mean, secrets were revealed immediately.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just. No.
I get what you're saying about the rush part, though.
Yeah.
I totally understand it. I mean, we came back basically at, we went from episode 6 where Ethan was still kind of questioning everything to episode 7 where he's like got a full on hard on for Pilcher's, you know, his
totally
philosophy
drank
and
the
everything.
Kool-Aid.
Yeah. He more than drank the Kool-Aid. He like drowned in the damn Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me. I didn't mind it. So I mean, just to tell you, I really enjoyed this episode. I did think that it was one of those episodes where you know you're basically setting things up for the end. It reminded me very much of episodes like 7 and 8 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. That's I mean, and there's got to be those episodes that, you know, to set up the next thing. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, we start off with Ethan discovering the bomb in his truck. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not a bomb expert, so I didn't know what that was. I'm like, what is that? Somebody put some,
He's got a carburetor in his car.
Yeah, why is he pulling it out? Isn't that supposed to go in there? Is he taking it to the parts store to get it fixed?
Exactly. He just said it was the starter. It didn't start. He must obviously be pulling the starter out of his car.
Exactly. So that was very, very confusing for me, but... So it was a surprise later on to when he's like, somebody put a bomb in my truck. I'm like,
bitches put a bomb in my car.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what did you think about the whole no one can keep a secret in this town thing?
The no one can keep a secret?
Well, I mean, don't tell anybody about this, but...
Well, I mean, basically, Ethan can't keep a secret.
Well, Ethan can't.
Ethan's the only one that can't keep a secret.
No, Teresa can't either.
But nobody's told Teresa, like, hey, that's a secret. Hush, hush. Everybody's just kind of like, they're just weird about it to Teresa. Because I don't think that they don't want to open Pandora's box for Teresa just quite yet. You know, they're basically, you know, she's on the bike with the kiddie wheels. Wheels.
I was a little... it bothered me when he tells her, you know, this isn't 2014. It's not the 21st century. She says, you know, what? What do you mean it's not the 21st century?
Yeah.
Well, I've got to go. You just sit back here, little lady.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's like, screw you, you son of a biscuit eater. Sit down and tell me what's going on. So
it's a very man thing to do, right?
It is a man thing to do.
Like you should just understand everything. We're like, we tell you, you know, we can tell you two sentences. Or not two sentences, two words.
Yeah.
And, you know, that should mean you should know exactly what we want. Like, I'm hungry.
That means
you know, like, hey, we want this hamburger. You should know that, right? Automatically.
I'm hungry and you should fix it.
that's typically what it means.
Yeah.
Like, you know, or you hope that in your mind that the, you know, the person that you're with, you know, puts the please on the front of that.
Well,
fix it.
And I will say you don't get the full effect of Justin over a podcast, obviously, but he does puppy dog eyes better than anybody.
Oh man, I'm really good at it.
Yes, and you know, you send those little signals out and women gladly do whatever you ask.
Despite the funk of not showering for a week.
The funk works for you.
It does. It's manly funk. Yeah. Well, there was a whole lot of, you know, Ethan telling people everything. I mean, he definitely went directly against Pilcher's words of, hey, you might want to keep this under wraps until we can. I would assume that Pilcher's like, let's keep this under wraps till we can get the, you know, the bombs patrol in order and take out these people that are trying to bomb the fence. You know, Ethan went the other way with it and is just trying to tell everybody, hey, it's 4028, people. Yeah. Wake the hell up. There's no Seattle out there. There's no cities out here. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit hard to take. I mean,
it's extremely hard to take. And that was why Pilcher asked for it not to be spread, because people obviously can't handle it. They can't handle it.
Can't handle the truth.
I was going to say that, but I'd already said that in an earlier podcast, and I was like, oh, God.
I was wondering if you were going to go back to the well, the Jack Nicholson well.
No, I remembered, and so I was like, they can't handle it. They can't handle it.
They can't handle, oh, damn, I'd eat the truth. Shit. Son of a gun. Well, okay, the big question to me is, you know, we knew that the episode was going to be called Betrayal last week, and we discussed it, whether or not this meant that was the betrayal going to come from Ethan's family? Like, were they going to betray him? So, did you like that? Was the whole betrayal from Kate?
No.
Was that satisfying to you?
Well, I would have preferred it came from Teresa, because for some reason, I don't know. I loved the whole Ethan and Kate thing.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of, you know, that they're partners, and both of them really smart and really tough. And
yeah,
I didn't want them to be at odds with each other.
I almost just fell out of my chair.
Because it was that shocking.
That shocking. What you just said almost made me completely fall out of my chair. Let me back things up a little bit. So you're telling me that you want Teresa to be the evil stepmother and Cinderella, Kate and Ethan.
I don't want them to get it on. I never said anything about getting it on. I just meant, I guess what I meant is I expected it more to come from Teresa, the betrayal, because of the way they set it up in the past couple of weeks with her digging into everything and making it seem more like she was going to be the one that was going to go against everything he said. That's pretty much what I mean.
Yeah, and it still may happen. I mean, because there's some things with Teresa that we, you know, she's still uncovering things. She went to plot 33 in this episode. She's digging around. She finds something. We don't know. It kind of sounds like an underground bunker type situation.
Yeah, or a septic tank, for God's sakes.
Yeah, as Bill says, hey, it's a septic tank down there, little lady.
Yeah. Yeah, mind your own business.
I got to ask you, you know, because we've discussed Bill in the past, and he gives off that creeper vibe, very sexist vibe. Mm-hmm. But do you think that his whole vibe was an act?
After this episode, yes.
I do too. Like, that was the first thing that I caught about Bill, besides the fact that he has the best line ever. I think, and I'm going to start using that when people ask me, hey, Justin, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm crispy like a cracker.
Yeah, except not when you're a white dude.
I'm crispy like a cracker, motherfucker.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, you know, cracker has a totally different connotation for the white guy.
That's true. Hey, you know, I embrace it. But I never
Do you know what cracker means?
No, I'd have to, like, Urban Dictionary that one.
No. It from what I understand, it means cracker. You're cracking the whip because of the slave owners.
Oh,
guys. Yeah.
I thought it was crispy, or I thought it was like a cracker because we're, you know, you get those saltine crackers.
Right. Or that
that's
were
embarrassing,
you know,
that I didn't, I, all this time I did not know that,
right.
That it had like such a negative connotation.
It does.
I just thought it meant, hey, you're like a cracker because right. you look like the saltine crackers.
Right.
That...
So you just said you owned up to it. Okay. Asswipe.
No, I do not
Mr.
own.
Mr. Cracker.
Well,
you're crispy like a cracker.
Hey, I'm still going to use the damn phrase. I mean.
Apparently no one on this show knew it either.
Yeah. Crispy like a cracker. I don't know. That kind of sounds like, you know, like I'm cool as a cucumber. Uh-huh. That's just what I thought it was. You know,
yes,
that's,
no,
that's,
I,
how,
I'm
that's
sorry.
How I was taking it. But
so
you had
sorry.
To go and ruin my crispy like a cracker. And now, when somebody asks me, how you doing, Justin? I say crispy like a cracker. They're like, you damn racist.
Exactly. And they, you know,
I'm like,
I was trying to help you. I was trying to help you out.
Oh, well, I appreciate that help. Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
You are welcome. So what did you think about the biology class? Was that not the most awkward?
Oh, my God. It's the... Megan is a creeper. We all called Bill a creeper, and now I feel bad about it because we definitely have, you know, because and
he presented that's, himself as that.
Well,
so
I know, but that's
fine.
That's how we tend to gravitate. We always say that, you know, the male dudes are always the creepers. We always get you know, shoeboxed. Is that a word?
Yeah, that works.
Shoeboxed.
Yeah, let's get this show on the run.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get the show on the run. That's what we kept saying earlier. Yeah, totally wrong. What's the word I'm going for? It's not shoeboxed. It's, you know, like shoehorned, I guess. Shoehorned
no,
is.
Mm-mm. Shoehorned, nope, that's not
it's
it.
Shoeboxed. I will murder you. I will murder you.
I know what you mean. You think we'd lump you into
yes.
one thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We had lumped into creepers, but the real creepers are Nurse Pam with her annual fertility consultations and Megan Fisher with her talks of basically like, hey, go sex him up after class.
Yeah. Yeah. That was weird. It was super weird. Don't tell your parents. Don't let them see this book.
I want to know what's in the book.
Pictures that made them all giggle.
Well, I mean, I remember being that age and looking at your, you know, your physio, like, I don't remember it being in my biology book, but I guess it was,
right.
You know, you see like penises and, you know, like,
what? Oh my God, what?
Exactly. That's exactly why they don't tell the, you know, their parents, because they get that reaction
yeah.
right there. But the way that they were giggling and the way that she was like, don't tell your parents about this. I'm pretty sure their parents have seen a penis and a vagina. So what the hell was actually in that biology book?
I think it was just, you know, pictures of how to
is it like
do it.
Penthouse?
Do it. Yeah. To
1001
to do it
sexual
right.
Positions.
Exactly.
Is
how to do it right. Yes.
Yeah. The French bow tie. Is that what was that was in there? Is that
what
what's
is
going
that?
On? I Google it. Google it. I'm sure you will find it.
Oh my God. It. All right.
Yeah.
The French bow tie.
Yeah.
You keep talking. I'm Googling well.
All right. You Google that. And then yeah, we were talking about Nurse Pam, the fact that yeah, her and Megan are in the running, you know, for creeper president of Wayward Pines.
Megan is the creepiest.
You think Megan? I don't know. Whenever somebody brings me in for, you know, well, I don't really get brought into that, but if they were to bring me in for a fertility consultation and she goes, married couple, young, fertile, and in their prime, and then she goes, yet not pregnant.
Okay. Womp, I mean, that's pretty clinical.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty clinical. Yeah,
she didn't ask them, let's see how you do it. What position are you using?
Oh, she was like, you still having your period?
Oh, did she say that?
Yeah, she did. It was creepy as hell. That's what I'm saying. Like, you may need to go back and watch that scene because it was uber creepy. Way, way creepy. So, yeah, I don't know. They should have, I would like to see, you know,
well,
and it's posters for, you know, Wayward Pines Creeper number one.
Okay, let me ask you this.
And Nurse Pam.
They are a young couple that are in their prime. That their hormones are still going, you know, working. What she's been there 12 years with this dude.
Yeah.
They would have got it on by now. I'm sorry. No one is faithful for that long.
They would have got it on, most deaf.
Right. Okay.
But.
You don't think accidents happen? How do you think you got here?
Accidents do happen, punk. But. I like to think that, you know, Harold and Kate, they're on such a mission that they knew if they brought kids into the situation that it would ruin mission number one. Objective number one is get the hell out of Wayward Pines. Yeah. It's not, hey, let's knock each other up. And not that Harold could get knocked up. That would be really awkward. That would make a totally new show of Wayward Pines. But if, you know, if it did, that would be creepy. That would be weird. Yeah, I don't know. I still think Nurse Pam's a creeper. For one, just checking their sperm count and their ovaries and everything.
Apparently, you know, you've not been to enough doctors.
Apparently not. Yeah, I have not been checking on that a lot. So, all right. Well, we've been remiss here because we did not even talk about the big thing that happened in this episode. I meant to talk about that up at the top of the show.
You know, what's
that? We kind of hinted at it with all of the 4th of July fireworks that was going on.
You mean the ending?
Yeah, the ending, the bomb. Yeah. The fact that you know this whole episode was about Ethan trying to stop the bomb. Well, he missed stopping the bomb that may have potentially killed Ben.
Okay. That was another one of the things that I had a big problem with this episode. One,
so how realistic that could not be?
Well, I mean, it was so, they let us know so far in advance that it was going to happen.
Can you tell me how? Because it took me by surprise the way the end happened.
Really?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I don't know.
Bomb was in the bag, and as soon as they decide that they're going to take that truck out to the woods, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to get blown up. You know, I guess I'm just smarter than you.
I guess.
And also when they started making out, there was a lot of stuff between them and that bomb.
Yeah.
They
I did notice it, that for sure.
Yeah. They would not have been blown out of the totally. The bomb blows. It blows you in the same direction as it, you know, concusses, and they went in the total opposite direction. But I mean, you know, that's
I agree with you in the sense that, you know, okay, they got the bomb, the little music box, little tiny ass bomb.
Yes.
But and then they had those pallets between them, and I totally understand. We were nitpicking the hell out of this episode.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay because I agree with you. I thought that was stupid because, you know, when we watch movies and we see bombs go off and explosions, we all, you know, it's always that classic shot of where somebody's going back into the house to save somebody and the house just explodes and that person goes flying backwards.
Right.
So I would have thought they would have flown into the front of the car with the delivery driver, Ted. That's where they would have ended up.
Right. But in that direction.
It completely exploded the back end of that truck. It looked crazy, like how it exploded. So
it blew out.
Yeah, it blew out. I don't know. I agree with you. And, you know, I would have thought body parts would have been missing and whatnot. Amy looked pretty good still.
She did. She looked great.
Ben did not look good. My thought of this is, you know, because we've seen in this episode, regardless of, you know, whether or not we thought the bomb was believable and whatnot, it wasn't. But my thought is this. Kate and Harold and Ted and Frank and apparently a shit ton of other people were responsible for this. I don't know. People were coming out of the woodwork, you know, trying to stop Ethan from stopping this bomb, which I thought was a joke as well. I wanted to make a reference that I thought that looked like something out of a Warner Brothers cartoon. Whenever they're trying to put the garbage can in his way as he's driving away.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger question out of all of this is Ethan was handling Kate and Harold in a very, very nice manner.
He was
the complete opposite of what Sheriff Pope had been. And I think that's what frustrated me so much.
What show were you watching?
He wasn't mean to them at all. He could have.
He takes Harold down in the middle of the street in front of the hotel.
He was trying to run away. He could have ended him right there. I'm pretty sure he's got a gun. He's like, all right, you know, Harold, not only are you trying to run away from me, but you took my girl. Bang.
Okay. So, all right.
All right. Well onward with my narrative
here. I'm so sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, in this episode, he lets him go. Like, he let them go multiple times when in the past they would have been thrown in jail and then they would have been reckoned with.
Right, right. Okay,
from Sheriff Pope.
Right.
So it kind of frustrated the hell out of me, the fact that, you know, he told Kate the truth. He told, I don't remember if he told Harold the truth, but he definitely told Kate the truth. He told Teresa the truth. Nobody's believing him. But then he just lets them go. You would think that Kate would be like, wait a second. This is a little bit different from Sheriff Pope, because she keeps blaming him for drinking the Kool-Aid and that they did something to him.
Yeah.
Well, if they did something to him, we saw how Sheriff Pope handled things. Don't you think that she would think that he would do the same thing?
Well, and I see what you're saying. But I actually liked the way that he handled things.
No, I
because, because I saw still glimpses of who the person was that I thought he was to begin with. So no, otherwise,
no, sure.
It would. Shut up. I'm trying to tell you something.
All right. Tell me.
No, I don't remember. What was I going to say? You know, I mean, it would have bothered me if he would have reacted in the exact way that Sheriff Pope did.
Yes.
Just because then I would have felt like, oh, I hate when they change characters so completely from episode to episode. That's all I'm trying to say. But my question is, since he did react in the way that he reacted, do you feel like he's trying to play some certain game to make this work out?
No.
For everybody?
No.
So you feel like he's hypnotized?
No. I think I may have confused you how I feel about it. No, I don't think he's hypnotized at all. Like, I think he's just acting the way that he would normally act as, you know, Ethan Burke in mm-hmm. in his past life. I think this is how he would have handled the situation. That's I'm not mad the way that he handled the situation. I was frustrated with the way that Kate handled the situation. The fact that she, you know, still was being so defiant, even though Ethan came to her, told her the complete truth,
right.
and let her go, you know, basically showing her that, hey, you know, I did go up there with them. I'm not brainwashed. If I was brainwashed, I'd be killing you right now.
Right.
I would wreck you right now. So
I was very surprised by her reaction.
Yeah. But I think the bigger question is now that, you know, he finds Ben at the end of the episode, what is he going to do now? Because, you know, he was Mr. Nice Guy. I don't think he's going to be Mr. Nice Guy for much longer with Kate and Harold.
Right.
So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward with Kate, because
you didn't think I was mad at you when I said shut up, right?
Oh, you were furious. No, I did not think you were mad at me when you told me to shut up. No, I just think I think I confused you with how I explained the situation between Ethan and Kate. No.
I mean, you know, I love you, right?
You do?
Yeah. I mean, even you know, even though you're stinky and you talk over me, I still love you. Okay.
Yeah. Like, right. Sometimes I love you. Sometimes not. All right. Well, I wanted to talk about. Well, for one, do you think Ben's dead?
No.
Okay. I don't either. I don't think Ben's dead. I think it would be more interesting if he was dead.
I think it would be too. But that's unfortunately, I just feel like this is not one of those shows that is going to, it's not The Walking Dead.
Yeah. No, well, or Game of Thrones. I think
right,
Game of Thrones
yeah,
would be
exactly.
more appropriate.
Right.
They kill everybody on Game of Thrones. Apparently the show that's on Netflix, Between, I didn't watch the show, but the guys at Film Dispenser covered the show.
Yeah.
And apparently they killed off everybody in that show.
Like, oh, fun.
It was crazy. They said it was terrible, said the show was absolute garbage.
Oh,
but it's on Netflix, so if you're bored, you know, we watch lots of garbage on Netflix.
We do.
And we think it's great because we get to watch all of it at one time. We get
all
to
the
see
garbage,
the full story unfold in front of us.
Right.
All right. So I think to wrap up this particular podcast recap of episode 7, I want the main thing I wanted to talk to you about as far as questions for what the crap is going on here. You know, I've thought over the last couple of episodes that everything is pretty straightforward. Exactly what we're seeing is exactly what's going on. But then Kate, which was very subtle in this episode. I didn't even notice it the first time I watched the episode. I guess maybe I was half asleep because I watched it early this morning. But I didn't realize that she had that little conversation with Teresa about that voicemail message that she received from Adam Hassler. I think it was Hassler. I can't remember his name. That, you know, that said, and it was 1 week after she got to Wayward Pines, according to Kate. And the message was that she was in a government program and she would be tested by another agent in the future.
Right, right. So, okay, the things that we have accepted now as truth, that we're, you know, 2,000 years in the future and that there is no rest of the world out there.
Yeah.
Have we actually, are we going to go back to where we really thought it was to in the beginning, that this was the government and some experiment that they're doing? So
I would never, in a million years, thought that that was the case after having watched, I guess, probably the last, let's just say, 7, 6, 5, and maybe 4. I can't remember what all went down in 4. But now I don't know.
I know.
Like, what the crap? Because, you know, maybe this plot 33 is, like, really leading out to real life.
Yeah.
You know, like, at first I thought, you know, we thought it might be a grave. Then... some nice comments from Mo once again. She's awesome. Thanks for listening each week. But she said, you know, guess I was wrong about plot 33. Wonder where that is going. Maybe it is an escape tunnel, or shelter for when the Abbeys make it in. It keeps us guessing.
Oh, that's a good thought.
Yeah, exactly. But now I'm also wondering, you know, is this really all an experiment? It would be weird that plot 33 is an actual, like, tunnel to, like, real life society and real world. But I will admit I'm somewhat confused at this point on the message that Kate talks to Teresa about. What, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think that's real, or was she just saying that to Teresa?
No, I don't think she was just saying it. I mean, why would she make that up?
Yeah. And maybe that's why she's so, you know, so stubborn, basically. You know,
right.
I was frustrated with her stubbornness. Maybe that's why she was so stubborn, is because she, you know, she had this prophecy of somebody was going to come and try to challenge her, basically, in the town of Wayward Pines. So, I don't know.
I don't either, because then I don't understand the whole timeline part of it.
Yeah.
That will throw me off. If it's not that everyone was kind of frozen and woke up at different points,
yeah,
then that Kate is older than Ethan, and it was, you know, remember the whole confusion we had in the very beginning was, you know, for him it was just a couple of weeks later, for her it's 12 years later.
Yeah.
So how do we explain that if it is some kind of, I guess if we're saying that the government. Just, I don't know. I'm going through all these things in my head as I say them. You can see it, you know, my brain.
I can see your story just deteriorating in front of me. Right.
Right.
So, no, I get it. You know, and we actually got a tweet the other day from Jill. I believe it's Jill. And she was asking about the timeline. She hadn't seen episode 7 as of yesterday or today, whenever she sent the tweet.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, some people might still be confused on the whole timeline thing. I was going to explain it last week, but you said you were good on the timeline. But yes, now this does throw a wrinkle back into it of the whole timeline, of the fact that, you know, the reason why there was different time periods for each person's stay in Wayward Pines is because of when they were unthawed, basically.
Right, right. So,
you know, we were led to believe that Pilcher has had this, you know, basically this ability to cryogenically freeze people for many, many years before 2014. Because
including himself.
Yeah, exactly. Including himself, because we know that he brought Beverly in 99. We don't know the other residents, how long they, you know, or when they were basically recruited. But we know for sure Beverly was 99. You know, Kate was 2014, and they have a 12-year time gap being in Wayward Pines. So we know that they were unthawed at different time periods. So, I'm with you. Like, there's something confusing now about the fact that she was. I mean, Kay was saying she was given that message 1 week after she arrived at Wayward Pines, which would have been 12. You know, basically 11 years and 51 weeks ago, I guess. So, I don't know. I'm anxious to find out more about that. I hope that surely that was not just a throwaway scene
it wasn't.
That's going to have some kind of ramifications going forward in the show.
And that's a solid argument for why she's not believing Ethan, because obviously they were very close, partners in work and, you know, in the bedroom.
Yes, I like the partners in the bedroom.
So
Megan would like that as well.
Yeah. Maybe it was them in the book. Maybe that's why, you know, Ben was so surprised by those pictures. I will say this
about the show. I think what is really confusing to everyone is the casting. Because in the book, Kate and Harold are much, much older. Like, much older.
Really?
They're in their probably late 50s, early 60s.
Well, then, is that just so that...
I think it's just that they just did in the book, they did a description of how that Kate would have looked after 12 years.
Right.
Like, in the sense of, like, so say Kate was, you know, in her mid-30s or, you know, early 40s or something whenever she was an agent with Ethan, you know, she would have aged quite a bit. She didn't really age. She got a haircut. I mean, that's basically, she got a new hairstyle.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. She's still hot as hell. You know, and so it is off-putting in the show to think that she's been there for 12 years and hasn't aged a bit.
I think she has aged,
you know, she was supposed to have aged in those 12 years. They just did an awkward job of casting, which I'm totally fine with casting Carla Gugino. I mean, there's nothing awkward about that. Carla Gugino is one of my top five favorites of all time, as far as actresses that I think that are quite lovely. So
seriously, you have a top five, because
that's just the top five of the moment.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, I know you, and I know you know, every time you and I have, even if it's a phone discussion, you're ignoring me while you
exactly. I'm like, I just happen to go on Google, and I'm like, oh, you know, because like,
she's good looking.
When you go to Yahoo and they have all those news stories,
right?
And you know, you'll just be browsing through them, and you're just, oh man, what is going on right there? That's just the top five of the moment.
Speaking of, you know, hot and browsing and all of that, I'm watching this, I'm fast forwarding through commercials, you know, and all of a sudden I got to a commercial that I had to play a few times. Of course it was Magic Mike, and I was like, oh my God, I hope Justin's not waiting on me, because I've got to watch this commercial over and over again.
I know all about commercials you have to watch over and over again. This morning, I wanted to chuck my iPad out the window, because if anybody out there that watches on Hulu, especially if they watch Weird Pines on Hulu the next day, like I do, I don't watch it live. I watch it the next day. I have Fox, I think, but it's terrible and I hate cable, whatever. The Geico commercial played at least 15 times during the entirety of me watching Wayward Pines.
Oh, God.
And it's that stupid Geico commercial. It's like, you don't have to skip this commercial because it's already over. And it's like the family and they're eating at the table.
Yes. And it's Flo and all the... Mm-hmm.
And the big dog comes and is like eating the dude's spaghetti.
That is not the one.
No. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's... Well, I don't think she's Geico either.
No, she's Progressive.
Yeah, mixing your insurance companies.
Oh my
up.
God,
once
that's
you get,
horrible.
Why don't you get Flo straight from Geico? All right. Well, I don't think I have any other thoughts on this episode other than I think basically Pilcher gave us a self-fulfilling prophecy in this episode, and I think that's what's going to come true. Forward Pines.
I think that's a good thought.
Hashtag spoiler alert right here.
Right.
You know,
everybody's going to die.
Everybody's going to die. And, you know, we as humans, we just destroy things. I mean, we've talked about this many times on this podcast when I go into saddy pants mode and I talk about the environment and how we're destroying it. And, you know, I don't see us living for many more generations at this point. At the pace we're going on, we're going to need Wayward Pines,
right?
So,
do you think that they would? Do you think they would recruit you?
No.
Really?
I mean, I'd like to. I'd like. We all. I mean, let's get real. We all like to think that we are valuable assets to society.
Yeah.
Maybe if they needed podcasters in the future.
Right. I mean, maybe they do.
Some entertainers.
Yeah.
They, you know, according to our iTunes reviews, probably not us. We might. We probably would not make the cut since our jokes fall flat every time. So they'd be like, well, we were going to bring you in, but according to this iTunes 2-star review, you're on the outs.
Yep. Sorry.
So sorry. Yeah. No, I don't know. I would like to think that I would make it, but I don't know. I mean, I don't make bombs. I can't. I'd like to think that I have a decent bullshit-o-meter in, you know, in terms of reading bullshit when it's being spewed at me like Ethan does.
Yeah.
So maybe I would get in that way. I'm not mean like Pope. I'm not going to go around hanging people for basically, you know, trying to go to another town outside of my town. I'm not that, like, you know, proud of my home.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a scientist.
It's really very interesting to this whole conversation, actually. I mean, at the very end here, getting into where would we fit? Where would we be cast in this town?
I can drive a car.
I'd be the real estate agent. I could do that. I mean, since they don't seem to have television and radio.
Oh, and since they don't have to, they don't need any skills either because they just give everything away.
Right.
Hard is it just to give
That's the only
somebody?
Kind of real estate agent I could be. I'm a horrible salesperson.
Exactly. So. No, I think that's a good spot for us. If Bill can make it, we
anybody
can make it.
That's
we can
right.
be real estate agents for sure. And we won't even be like Teresa. We won't be snooping around. I'm just, hey, you gave me a free place to live.
Yeah.
Free ice cream. Yeah. I have, oh man, right now. I'm like Sheriff Pope here at my house because I got Moose Tracks. Oh.
Which is the funniest name because, I mean, it's got the little chunks in it, right? Like poop. Right?
Yeah, like poop. It looks like little poops.
Yeah.
It's like my little Dotson dog pooped off in it. But
well, that's funny because
it's amazing.
I'm eating some ice cream right now that has the little poop looking things in it, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's good.
Screw whatever Sheriff Pope wanted. Rocky Road. Pff,
rum raisin.
Rum raisin. Nah. Nah, Moose Tracks. That's where it's at, Sheriff Pope. So I'm sorry, RIP, but you messed up with that Rocky Road and Rum Raisin. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps up our talk on episode 7. Episode 8 is entitled The Friendliest Place on Earth.
Yeah. And I will say, this is the first time that I've been upset about getting to see the little preview of next week.
Oh, I didn't see it at all.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Okay, well, we won't even discuss it on this.
No, we're not going to.
Not
going to
ruin it for anybody, especially we didn't
have
the spoiler alert. But I'm curious to go check it out, but I'm going to not do it. I'm going to go play Batman Arkham Knight. Where can they find you at on social media?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Ditzy DJ, and I spell it with 2 T's, and that's DITTZY DJ, in case you're wondering where the 2 T's fell.
No, I mean, I thought it was at the end. It was DTTJ.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, you just really don't know. So I thought I should clear that up.
Especially
right.
with you.
And you can also find me on Facebook real quick. That's Kelly O'Neill. Okay, Justin, go ahead.
Awesome. Well, you can find both of us. It's The Walking Naked on Twitter, The Walking Naked on Facebook. We would be glad to get any of your emails. Thank you so much to the people that have reached out to us in the past. It's thewalkingnaked@gmail.com. Make sure you check out our other podcast. We're discussing humans on our podcast called Ready, Click, Play. It's where we talk about TV shows and video games. We have 2 segments each week in that podcast. Make sure you find that. And The Strain's coming up soon. We're going to be podcasting The Strain. It's The Strain, a Walking Naked podcast. So make sure you go subscribe to that as well. And we hope you enjoyed our conversation on Wayward Pines. And we'll see you next week for episode 8.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm waving. Are you waving?
Oh, I am too. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
America.
Oh, and by the way, keep all your fingers.
Yes. We don't want to be here. We don't want to get emails about you losing your fingers over 4th of July weekend. So.
Right.
All right. Bye-bye, peoples.
Bye.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Well, I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Hey, hey. Said I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. And if I share with